Now, you have to have something to hold up there. You have to have accomplishment, and you have to be able to deliver. Now, we could deliver to some limited degree. In the early days, the reason we didn't deliver, please get this very straight, and why I was telling you about early turbulences. The reason we didn't deliver is because there wasn't any way to enforce the way to do it. Do you understand? You could give somebody some directions, but he did them wrong, and that kept the whole of Scientology, Dianetics rather, that days, that kept the whole of them interpolated. Now, how did it keep them interpolated? That's because by unstraight technology, improperly administered, their cases did not make an advance. Do you follow? There'd be enough very bad auditing here, there, and so forth to upset people here, there, and so on. And there wasn't any way you could discipline the administration of the technology. Now, you have to have two things in order to discipline the administration of the technology. Three things, actually. First, you have to have the technology. You can't be pushing hidden standards off on somebody. He doesn't know what the technology is, and you're raising hell with him for not using it. You see, you can't do that. So you have to have the technology, and you have to be able to make that technology known. In other words, your instructional materials and that sort of thing, and the publication of the technology has to be very good. And the third step is you have to be able to police its use. In other words, make sure that it's that technology that's being applied. Now, there is the 1, 2, 3 of an organization, whether it is in administration, whether it is in technology, or in any other way. We put a stable datum into the world. It was, of course, completely impossible to have finished off all the technology and so forth by 1949, published it in an orderly fashion in 19... Well, you could do this maybe if you were talking about a new design for kiddie cars. Mm-hmm. But not, for God's sakes, something that required the entire experience of a group and that required its entire contact and so forth with society. You couldn't just say, well, there it is in all orderly fashion, I'll go ahead and do it. I mean, that's the ideal, the unthinking ideal, but no, we live in a very real world. And I upset some of you when I talked to you about getting arrested and fighting and all this sort of thing. But the truth of the matter is we aren't just an idea. See? You have to differentiate between a nice philosophy lying in a book, disturbing nothing on a shelf, not even reading itself, and bringing individuals, live human beings, up to a point of recognition of their own beingness. Now, that is a live action. That's totally live as an action. Now, we don't look at it because it's much easier to face a concept or an idea than it is to face a living, breathing entity. And from 1950 forward, we were a living, breathing entity. From about July, when I took over, to the degree of saying, all right, I'll stand up to it. All right, we will push it through. Up to that time, we could be a very nice excitement that people could leave alone or not leave alone or something like that. And we didn't have to be very serious about it. But a lot of people were being serious about it, don't you see? No matter how it was stated, a lot of people were being serious about it. And we then were a live, breathing thing. And we weren't just an idea. And if you get an idea, if you think that 1950 was just somebody who, well, he just wrote a book and people took exception to the ideas, or there was some trouble about the ideas, or this guy was not well braced to take over such a standard, horribly prominent point in the spotlight of existence, and that was all that happened, you have an entirely wrong concept of the situation. We were live, breathing things, me amongst you. And the point is, we were not at any time along the line anything else. We weren't a philosophy going through the society. We were beings. And when we first started up the line, it was the interbulation of the trillions which began to blow. It was pretty much just asking people to confront their banks. It was pretty much pretty tough. And nobody was in a really steady state while being better than the man on the street alongside of him. Nobody was in any very steady, stable state. And when people processed each other, there wasn't any way to really get the straight information for this, and therefore they weren't able, as you were able today, to run out your overts and PTCs and feel a lot better. Bang, you see? Oh no, they didn't have this technology. We had to fight our way up in a very aberrated state. We had more ways to knock out the whole track than we did to knock out or even know about our little overt in the last hour. Didn't even know about it. No, we didn't have weapons at that particular time. We had a lot of technology. We had more than man ever dreamed of, but that wasn't very damn much. And we had started at that time to make a hole, you might say, in the conglomerate and collective aberration of mankind. Remember, it was a livingness that was making that hole. We were live beings. It wasn't the principles making the hole, you see. It was we applying them and pulling ourselves up somehow or another off the rug or lower. Rough, having to stand in there. Not really the good tools yet, don't you see? And not the communication and administration lines necessary to enforce those tools we had. The squirrel processes that were run, the guys that were half spun by them and so forth, it's a fantastic back chapter. But remember, you're looking at a living being. Now, it's a good way to say, well, it's all Ron's fault that it didn't all go smoothly. That's right. You're perfectly, absolutely right. I should have been an OT who came to Earth and got a hold of somebody named Moses and said, hey, Moses, here's some rules. Now you go back off in front for me. Is anything wrong with that story? Can you imagine somebody doing that if he was capable of all that power? Hey, Moses. Here's 10 commandments, Moses. Don't let your people sell bad pig to each other, only sell it to strangers. No. This guy didn't happen. It just required more raw nerve to stand up by yourself. No, it'd have been best if I'd come in here from Arcturus, you see, as an OT, and simply said, man, that isn't the way it happened. That isn't the way it happened. It was up out of the ditch and by the bootstraps. And I should not go around saying, well, of course, I'm just very ordinary and very common and so forth. I'm probably very extraordinary, who knows? I recall pieces of my own back track that certainly look extraordinary. No reason to invalidate myself along the line. But the truth of it is, we were living beings and we moved up into the teeth of every aberration in the society, almost simultaneous at one fell swoop. And the confusion that blew off was so fantastic that as it's taken 15 years just to stabilize our position organizationally where we could stand still and resist the brickbats which came our way. Now that is an evolutionary step which is vital to the growth of any organization, and we are through it. Very rough. We won. At any time, we could have gone appetite over tin cup. We could have finished. We have been within an ace of it time and time and time again. Philadelphia, look at the frailty of it. Crazy fool wants to seize all of Dianetics. Can you imagine some dumb fool trying to seize all of Dianetics? Well, look it over. What was Dianetics? You say, well, Dianetics was a book or a copyright. Oh, no, Dianetics was a bunch of living beings. He wanted to seize all this. Oh, he couldn't seize all that. It was not possible to hold. So he goes and tells the federal marshals and so forth that there is a bankruptcy suit in which this man is a vital witness. And he's about to leave the United States, so you had better arrest him so that he can testify in court. Crazy things, don't you say? The man's dead. He's very dead. Nobody could survive the overts which he pulled, that, not just that overt, but the many overts. He's very dead. I don't think that it was accidental, because his first love was money. And Susie was talking to Inland Revenue that we're trying to get her to pay some, or Internal Revenue that's trying to get her to pay some wild taxes of some kind. Another $125,000 worth of owed taxes on the old foundation. And she just looked him straight in the eye and says, well, we don't owe you this, as a matter of fact, and gave this man's name. And said he was the fellow who made the money off of it, and if he's claiming this as taxes, you're never going to get it off him. He's clever. She just put the finger right straight on him. She's a very sweet girl. And Internal Revenue said the $125,000 he was claiming off of his taxes for his expenses in trying to wreck Dianetics. They declared that his activity in Dianetics was a hobby. All of the money he lost trying to run this squirrel foundation, that Dianetics was a hobby with him, and therefore he had to pay all the taxes. He paid. He had to. The tide of that sort of thing, you see, one day he's perfectly able to present suits and so forth and get you arrested. The next thing you know, all you have to do is tell the government, well, it actually... that's the man that owes you the money, and they go over and collect it off of him. Now, that's a symptom of the turning tide. The only reason I mentioned these two things. At one moment, it's just the breath of a whisper. See, half the cops in Philadelphia are down and picking you up and fighting with the foundation, and oh, you see, all kinds of things like this. A few years roll by, and you say, that's the man. They go over. Say, we're going to arrest you unless you pay up. See, the tide turns. Tide turns. It's been gradually turning just to that degree. That's a more dramatic thing. The people that in 1950 were having such a ball and wiping their feet on us and that sort of thing, well, actually, you could sort of cry to see some of those people today. It's not that it was us particularly. It was just they look in the same shape as somebody who had tackled a 10,000 volt power line. But it was a collective power line that they... It wasn't just one power line. They look pretty bad. One of them's living as a beachcomber. I hear rumors of this character now and then, and so forth. I haven't got the slightest bit of rancor as far as these people are concerned. As a matter of fact, I feel a little bit bad about it occasionally and so forth. But they just made a head-on collision. Going to stop us in our tracks, don't you see? Ha, ha, ha. They got holes in the back of their heads. Now they're laughing at it, don't you see? The society at large, in other words, has first the people who attacked us, any people connected with those early days, those people are gone. either dead or they're in terrible condition, as the institutions which attacked us are weaker. You see? This tide has turned. We can now hold our position. We have for some time now been holding our location in space organizationally. We are able now to instruct in the right way to do something, and it gets applied. And we do that, it gets a result. We're able to hold our own comm lines. We're able to bring it up to a point where today I can calmly release a bulletin and say there is a new set of comm lines, and they are so and so and so and so, and I know they will go in. And we're sufficiently this way and that, but we can say in no uncertain terms, that our organizational form takes this shape. And it's mostly what shape do we want it to take rather than what shape have we got to take. We're dictating our form. Now, this is a big change. This is a big change. So in 1950, I said it would go as far as it works, and it won't go any further than it works. And we're going to hold the fort here, and we're just, this is a holding operation. And I well knew that instinctively that the brickbats were going to come over hot, thick, fast, and furious, you see. The stable datum going into an aberrated society, and the confusion was going to blow up. I just did my work from that point on, working it out with the experience with people and things, holding the fort, getting gradually the lines in, getting gradually a greater security, getting gradually a little more forward motion, and all the time working on research. It will go as far as it works, and actually it won't go another inch further. So when people have said to me, why don't you get in there and administer? When people have said to me, why don't you bang and hammer and pound away at dispatches? And why don't you do this sort of thing? No, for 15 years I have known it would go as far as it worked, and it would go another inch further than that. That's all. And an organization will be as rich as they make it work. And things will be as smooth as it is working. And the individual will be as good as it is worked on him. And he will be surrounded by those who are as good as he has been able to make it work on them. And that's all. You've said it all. So it goes as far as it works. So at this particular time, I'm in the rather interesting and fantastic position of being able to calmly put in the organizational structure and to work hammer and tongs, which I am working right now, something on the order of maybe as much as 18 hours a day on putting in the administrative form and setup, which doesn't alter what we have got in actual fact, but simply makes it firm, takes all the lessons we have learned over the last 15 years, puts them in effect, smooths it all out, found the final form of the organization that'll work like a bang. It'll probably be that way 5,000 years from now. And there it is, be able to put those lines in and write those things up with enough security, backed up thoroughly enough, backed up with enough enthusiasm, and so forth, so that those lines will go in, and that's the way it'll be, and so forth. All the lessons, all the things we've learned can take effect. Because actually, we got to a position where we were holding ourselves from expanding. It would go as far as it worked, had gotten up to a point where it was working faster than it was administered to handle. We have suddenly done a breakthrough here. This is a very peculiar breakthrough, very odd. But we're making clears. And these are shocked people because they've been expecting them for 15 years, never realized, of course, the best reason why you wouldn't make a clear was if the data wasn't straight. If you're organizational form and the discipline of it all and the brickbats if that wasn't good enough, and the brickbats coming your way were so terrific, and the yipple-yap in the society against the individual staff member was so great, you couldn't expect him to sit there and do any kind of a job. Even though he had the information in his hand, he would be so distracted he would hardly be able to duplicate the bulletin, don't you see? Well, you wouldn't have expected that to happen. Well, something funny has happened. It's class 4, and level 4 is supposed to be the clear level. And clears are emerging at 1 and 2. Very funny. And I won't mention any names. One of your instructors has just got through writing me an alarm note on the subject of a clear. And I'm going to put it in the auditor. Crisis on St. Hill course. Well, we do with this person, see? We can't process this person on the rest of the processes between where she is and level 4 into 6. In fact, I don't think the person will now run on R6CW. I've got to break out the actual bank pattern and so forth and start posting it in the cabinets in there so she can run from the top down. I don't think she could find a dramatization on her bed. Clear, see? Clearing too early. We've got more problems, you see. Well, life is pretty difficult. It's pretty difficult to make a living these days because, you see, they clear too fast. Well, that's a different look than we have an awful trouble with this person, Ron. Drag him into my office in Elizabeth, throw him down on the couch, and find the engram necessary to resolve the case by some means or another, not even an e-meter, turn him back over to the staff auditor and have him go run the engram and finish it up. And it looks a little bit different. And the guy gradually, dozens and dozens or even hundreds of engrams later, you see making a progress up toward clear. In the meantime, the society is caving him in. The suppressive persons on the other side of him are telling him he didn't make any gains, don't you see? All these various wild things occurring. A living in turbulence, not an in turbulence of data. Now we move over into the other line is, Ron, what do I do now? Hey, this person is supposed to go up through grade 2 and grade 3 and grade 4, and if she can't possibly get her auditing check sheet because she's clear and won't run on anything. How do we fit this in? Crisis at St. Hill. Well, what is that? That is actually a more cleared environment. We aren't getting lambasted every day in the press, don't you see? We're not getting this, we're not getting that. Your environment is getting clear, so a person possibly could breathe and get audited without a whole bunch of PTPs in the next 5 seconds. You see, it looks better. It looks better. And it's very symptomatic. I come in today, and I lectured to you the last time I lectured to you. Before that, you were all black in the face. And last time you were, and I come in today, and you look a great deal brighter. You look a great deal brighter than that. Well, that's because a channel of order has been introduced into this particular course, which, of course, has its rough edges, as they always do, that is smoothing out, and I think by this time it's smoothed out. In other words, we're in a position in this course now where an instructor can take responsibility for a certain strata of the students of the course, the individual responsibility for those students. In other words, he can stand up now in the end theta of the environment and that sort of thing and wear his hat. Things are becoming more orderly, don't you see? Up to that time, he had to sort of stand on the fringe of all of this commotion. Well, let's put him in there and let him take it on the chin. It'll smooth out. And I noticed just looking at you today that you smoothed out remarkably. Well, the action of administration is simply smoothing out the turbulence of the environment, and that's all there is to it. When you introduce a stable datum into the environment, it blows all over the place. It blows up, practically. You very often introduce somebody to Scientology, and you see a tremendous amount of confusion ensue. He's going through the same thing. He collides with the people in his immediate environment. They haven't gone any place. He has. So he is, to some degree, getting his block knocked off in his environment, don't you see? He's going through, as an individual, the same horrible curve that any of the rest that we went through as a group. And this individual very well could possibly get himself into a lot of trouble and that sort of thing. But I point something out to you. If he keeps at it, if he keeps at it. Why, it won't take him 15 years, as it would a larger group, to get up to a point of where he can hold his position in his case game, don't you see? In the first place, he's served by far better technology. He's served on communication lines that can be administered. There's a terrific relationship, you see, between the environment and the individual and the speed with which a process works. And you've got to be able to get a process working on somebody that will be sufficiently effective. This is what these people go out here and say, well, I'm going to audit R6 on the public, you know. They miss the whole point. All they're going to do is unstabilize the guy. They don't dare unstabilize a man in his environment this much. The environment's going to knock his block off if they unstabilize him to that degree. This guy's got to learn to walk in his environment. You don't tell him to fly and then knock him down and laugh. That's a horrible thing. No, this guy's got to go out there and he's got to have something that he can understand and grasp and communicate to his environment and so forth, because he's going to get plenty of randomity anyhow. And this result has to happen fast enough to take care of these things, you see, before the environment knocks his block off. It's a race between the auditor and the environment, this man's environment, see? And it's always that kind of a race. And that's true of us as a group, don't you see? It was a race between us and our environment. We were living beings. You've processed a living being, and his relationship is between himself and his environment. You, therefore, have to be able to deliver technology to him that he can somehow or other stand up with. And you don't dare unsettle him and throw him back into his environment. Well, you've got to bring him up on a line where he can hold those gains stably and that there are real gains to him and so forth, and he can go back into the environment. Furthermore, you've got to provide him with a certain amount of administrative protection. And today, you've just been given weapons of administrative protection for your PC. And you've been given a method of forcing a PC to take action and not keep on messing up in his environment and knocking himself downhill. This is all germane to the situation. No, we are more powerful. We are more powerful than we have ever been before. And things are more stable, and processes can go in, and administrative systems can be evolved and presented. Hats can be checked out on them. We can have a rather simple administrative system. We don't have to have a very complex one, as long as the thing is well followed, as long as its channels are delineated, as long as our mutual understanding of the existing situation and the lessons which we have learned up all these years and so forth continue to be applied. We're perfectly fine. We're in a position of much greater ability in the society. Scientology is up the world around. It's going up, up, up. It doesn't look like it sometimes in an organization that's fighting for its life and so forth. Until you look at the curve and look where the state of the organization was a few years ago or even last year, why, you don't get the kind of a picture it is. Now, you've got to bring up an organization on a gradient the same way. Some of you will be putting organizations in or handling the putting of organizations into place in the society, because there will be hundreds of organizations tomorrow where there's only one today. The ratio is going to go up at a great rate of speed. I'm pulling the blocks. I'm pulling every point and barrier and so forth off the line that keeps us from expanding right now. They at one time were protective barriers. We mustn't do too much of a forward fly up the line, because we would have gone too fast and we would have wrecked ourselves beyond that. So we had lines that were blocked, lines that were blocked, lines that were blocked. My whole job right now is entirely devoted to administrative actions. I'm just putting the administration into effect, putting it into effect. The whole action is spot the place where the jam was, spot the place which restricted expansion, and pull the pins on it, and then spot another place which restricted expansion, and look back and pick up the policies that handle that sort of thing, you see. Put in the communication lines, pull the block out. And you can't go at this very long as an auditing process on an organization which is already restricted in its ability to expand without some fantastic things occurring. Now, the trick is to do this without unsettling the existing organization. So you begin to see in these bulletins now, do not disturb any line which is actually in and operating at this particular time. Leave all those lines in, regardless of what they do to your org board and so forth. The lines which are working for you will still work, don't you see? Also put in this other set of lines which parallels that set of lines, don't you see? Well, now, what I'm working for is an accelerating curve. And this will occur. and you'll see it in a relatively short time. We've gotten to the point where the society itself can be bowled over, so we might as well just start knocking the aberration out at a very high rate of speed. We're past the critical point of case gain. Now it really doesn't matter how fast the case gains. We have made our point of stability. We are there. We've got our feet down. We can hold our position. We don't have to back up because somebody whispers in our direction. We can hold our communication lines in. We have just gone through two governments trying to knock our blocks off, and we have emerged at the other end thumbing our nose at them in a very impudent fashion. The United States government is so scared to bring that thing to trial, it's pathetic. I had the British government ask them the other day about it. Right. And they don't know anything about it. I imagine after a while they'll get mad and bring some wild suit and try to finish this thing up or try to do something and so forth. But it's sort of like a boxer who has gone down on one knee 15 or 20 times already in this fight, don't you see? And he isn't very enthusiastic about lifting his head. So if he does anything at all, he sort of punches at the referee. See, he hasn't got any direction left because the attacks which we're getting are directionless. Doesn't look like that maybe to the poor guy down in Melbourne, but I should imagine Melbourne feels pretty cocky. It's lived through it. I notice Melbourne's coming up. For a while, they were nattering at St. Hill and nattering at people and so on. As you could imagine, they had their heads knocked off down there. Well, they must have been very strong or they wouldn't have stood up to that. It actually doesn't matter much what the press does say about us now. You could have screaming headlines come out in every newspaper in the world, Scientology is no good, and everybody'd say, ho, hum. They have worn that out. We have heard that all before, don't you see? We've lived through these things. Now, what we've got to face up to now is the fact that our expansion will be an accelerating expansion. What we've got to do now during this year is finish up getting our communication lines in and square things up. There's some really marvelous things in the works, fortunately. The whole basic administration, technology and so forth is laying out before the eye. These things are quite wonderful, some of them. I'm fascinated with them. They're just most fabulous operating keyboard you ever wanted to play on as an organization in this particular universe. It doesn't play on it either. If you want to strengthen up an organization, stabilize an organization, that sort of thing, just find the expansional blocks and pull them. And find the things that, you know, that block expansion. Find those expansion blocking barriers. See? Find those things. Pull it. Find those things. Pull it. Open up your communication lines. Put in your barriers and so forth on the edges of the communication line, not in the middle of it, so that you channel your action and so forth. Just keep doing this. Strengthening up the edges, letting the lines flow harder. Strengthening up the edges, letting the lines flow harder. Going at the formula of how to put life into a group from the... In other words, we're very much causative in this. How do we put life into our organizations? How do we get them rolling again? How do we get them to stand up straighter and that sort of thing? Well, this year, they will go through several flickers and flackles and they'll go up and down and so forth, and they will restabilize. But I can assure you that they will go very stably. It won't cost us any organizations to reorganize these things. Already put it to test. I changed the whole org board suddenly to a more workable org board last summer. I just told them all to put it in and put it on the org board, but not do anything with it to move anybody's chairs or anything. But just put that up. It was immediately followed uniformly over the world by an increase in income, a decrease in upset. So reorganization can actually mean a smoother run for everybody. All right, now we're just about to put in the rest of that org board. And we're about to put it in with a smash and a bash and a bang. Rather quickly, but with the same orders. Don't change any of the lines you've got, even though the line is wrong that you're actually using. And so what? Why put the person's name on the organization board the way the line is working? And also put this org board in, too. And then gradually they'll see where these lines actually snap, and a lot of duplicate functions. There are a lot of duplicate functions right now in an organization being carried on in two different places. And these duplicate functions, one after the other, are just being deleted so that you've got single functions for each one of them. See? In other words, you're actually reducing the amount of traffic in an organization. The traffic in an organization is being reduced now, even though the potentiality is, well, I guess we've raised the traffic potentiality of an organization 200 or 300 times. I had just in the last day or two. The stuff will really be flying on those communication lines, but there's no barriers for it to hit, don't you see? There's people to catch it, you see, and there's things that people can do about it. The lines are wrong. Now the only thing we're asking a staff member to do organizationally and so forth is just discipline the communication line. That's the only way we can get in trouble, is the fellow who fails to discipline the communication line. He doesn't wear his hat with regarding the discipline of how the communication is supposed to be done and how the thing is supposed to be rooted. Or he enforces the discipline so savagely and so forth that EARC breaks somebody on the other end of the line. See? He's got to measure delicately between these two things. That's all we've got to do, because the technology and so forth has got to have lines to flow on. There is no vast rush at this particular moment, oddly enough, of getting the final technology out. There's no vast rush about getting a public book out. There's no vast rush about this sort of thing, because if we don't get the organizational line in, we're doing promotion, things are going up, it's all right, don't you see? But unless we've got those lines in, the same thing will happen to us. We'll interbulate, we'll have another peak where we're hitting the society with a great deal of new material, don't you see? And we're hitting the society with this material, and the society's reacting back against us. Well, we don't want the society reacting back against us without our lines in good shape. It would be folly, don't you see? So the thing to do is to set the lines up, get them very smooth, fix it up so that these things are all in form, and in a moment of stress, and with an expansional action and increased traffic, that there are lines for that traffic to flow on. Then follow it right up behind that with the actual release out into the public of additional technology, the release of it into the organizations. Frankly, everybody in these organizations is pretty well trained on the exact technology. It's a tremendous joke, don't you see? The newest and latest now. The newest and latest is about to be released into the organizations. The newest and latest is about to be released into the public. It's quite interesting. The newest and the latest is a subject called Beginning Scientology. That's the newest and the latest. I am being laggardly in giving you your level processes and your auditing check sheets for these levels, because they're just a little bit different than you think they are. They're a little simpler than you think they are. The processes are a little bit simpler to do, and I've got that material. It's all actually sitting on my desk. I haven't had time to write up just the bulletin that delivers it to you rat-a-tat-tat, because you recognize all the processes now to do them. You say, how could it be that easy? I'm sure it will be your first reaction to it. Not how do we learn all this terribly complicated? But, and then you all of a sudden cognize that, yes, these are the processes that always have worked, don't you see? But the first book of Beginning Scientology is, of course, what book? It's a book called Beginning Scientology. And it composites the identical track of Scientology. And it has the elements, the successful elements, with none of the distractions, and the lead on in of everything we have done. That's all. You haven't got to worry about the rest of it. But we can cover years of that area in practically the breadth of an eye of the workable technology which existed there. The philosophy and so forth that went along with it. And the other developmental things, it's very interesting that the Philadelphia Lectures of 1953, is it, or something like that, or 52? No, 52. Those confounded things contain most of the technology for level 7. They're practically a textbook on level 7. So there's a lot of that technology, but it's not come out even, don't you see? I mean, it hasn't been released in exact chronological sequence. There's been some of the earlier technology was more advanced, don't you see? Well, all we have to do is take up what was released, more or less, at that time, as it went forward, right on up to PT, which fits the levels, and then take the stuff that came out of sequence and add it on top of that, and we've got the whole subject. There's nothing much to this. There have been some tremendous discoveries and so forth during the last 12 months. As you may or may not be aware, the clay table, there's things of this particular character that are sweepingly important. The point is, the first book that will be released into the public is already written. It's called Beginning Scientology, and it has a small section out at the beginning of a book called Excalibur I wrote in 1938. And then it has the pertinent sections of the original thesis, and then it has the pertinent early sections of Dianetics, Modern Science, and Mental Health. all written. It's just a paste-up job. And all the distractive material is taken out of it, and then it's told, the person is told throughout, this book does not include the instructional drills. Practical drills and so forth, and doesn't particularly include all of the processes. You have to get those from an auditor or from your local academy, see? And this isn't all there is to it. It goes on for several levels after this, you say. It describes the conditions to be obtained, but it tells the person exactly what to expect in attaining them, see? We don't make it a 15-minute wonder, don't you see? Get the idea? We say, after you've gone through a few levels, man, you'll be clear. We keep putting down footnotes, of course, with this book material is not all the material, and as we could keep leading the people up along the line. Your next book up along the line is of similar materials and so forth. It isn't just cut up old books, though. It goes further into a more composited line. But we have to have that first entrance book because that was our first entrance into the society. And if we leave that as a gap, no student thereafter would ever be able to understand that he knew what the earlier beginnings were. And he would have an unknown on his backtrack, which would make him uncertain. So we must have that. We must have that there, fronting up the line. Well, it's the first entrance point of the society, so obviously it contains the elements which make it the first entrance point of the society. Dynamic principle existences survive. That's all. Therefore, dynamics. You know this stuff. And the processes that went along with it that were very successful had to do with very light PT processes, had to do with communication and so forth. Doesn't matter if some of the processes were developed far later that fitted that particular level, that were much more effective. We just get the guy so he can talk to the people around him. We teach him about locks, and we show him something about engrams. Very interesting, an old-time Dianeticist the other day recovered his sight because somebody timed on an E-meter 2 engrams. Guy recovered his sight because he just got the date of 2 engrams. Didn't improve it once and then began to prove very nicely. Just heard about it. Here's the upshot of this, is this old technology was workable. But how could technology, on lines that were scrambled and was upset, somebody would have to write somebody who knew somebody in the Elizabeth Foundation who had a rumor that the latest technique was, and even though a bulletin was released at that particular time, the chances of it being received, followed, or applicable were very remote. Well, bring it up to the point the guy's spotting spots in space and spotting spots in the room or something like this, and he isn't doing it right. And the DP walks in and says, if you keep doing that wrong, son, you're going to be talking to a committee of evidence. That's a little bit different, isn't it? A little different view. And you say, that's a rough one to live in. No, that's a smooth one to live in. The society is a smooth society in which you can have some law and order. We're moving ahead into this. We're moving into a position of extreme maximum thrust, you might say, and we'll be there very, very soon. I'm not just shooting the breeze because the information that is pouring in here now and the data which is crisscrossing and so forth shows that everything I'm putting out is being perfectly well received and going into effect very rapidly. The bad old days are actually repeated by every human being who faces up to the society and tries to stand up as himself and tries to stand up as part of a Scientology organization for the first time. He's hit with a confusion, but fortunately, due to the work we've done and the research we've done, the period is over very soon if we do our job well. But everybody goes through that same cycle. You get a new person. Oh, it's fine, it's wonderful, it's delirious. It's great, it's great, it's great. You see him the next day, he's falling flat on his face. Somebody's invalidated the living pants off of him. Ding-vang, this way, up and down, and so forth. Recognize what you're looking at. The guy is he's putting new data, new stable data into his environment. The confusion's blowing off. There's new stable data gone into him, and the confusion is going off. It's a repeat track. It can't be otherwise, because the road is up and out, and man was way below a level of confusion. He was too far down to even know he was confused. Thank you very much.